Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Jayhawk Talk podcast. I am Kevin. Joined with me, as always, my podcast co-host and friend, partner in crime, Andrew. How you doing today, Andrew?
Pretty good. I'm trying to get rested up this weekend, just like the Jayhawks are trying to get rested up for the Big 12 tournament coming up. But we've got some celebrating to do here on the podcast today after winning an 11th straight Big 12 title.
About that.
Clinching it this week. Had a little bit of a exhibition game on Saturday. Is that what you call it? Exhibition?
I think that's right. I mean, that sounds right.
We'll talk about it here in a little bit, but I can't remember a game that was as, you know, small amount of pressure as that game was. You know, it ended up being really close, but I think no one really expected to win, and the fact that it was close was kind of just the cherry on top. But we've got a lot to get to, Kevin. Tell us what the rundown is.
We're definitely going to talk a little Big 12 championship because, you know, it was Monday. It was like a long time ago, it feels like, but it's no less important just because we haven't talked about it since then. We're going to review those West Virginia and Oklahoma games just briefly. But we want to talk also a little Cliff. We're going to talk some Big 12 individual award winners. And we're going to preview, Andrew, the Big 12 tournament, which starts this week. Postseason basketball is here. I'm so excited. We've been talking about how, like, you know, this time of year, you just got to get me to the postseason. You know, it's like 2 weeks left. It just felt like it was dragging on and on and on. I'm so happy to be in the postseason.
Let's take a little opportunity and talk about the 11th straight title.
Hang on, let me get some music in here. There we are. Andrew, 13-5, wins it outright in the Big 12.
Is that what we thought? Did we think 13-5 could win it outright? I know we talked at the beginning of the season. You know, 12-6 would have tied, and 12-6 doesn't even seem possible as being a championship type record. But I guess it just goes to show you how, you know, difficult this league was. I want to take a couple seconds to just ask a couple questions. In your
gut. Hang on, wait for the music to cut out.
Okay.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun. I don't even know what the music was.
We're good.
I hope it was epic. I hope it was. It was epic. I hope it made me sound cool. Yeah, probably not. Okay, so
right.
In your heart of hearts, in your gut of guts, in your brain of brains,
okay,
did you think this was going to be the year that the streak ended?
No.
You didn't think so?
No, I never did.
Did you think there was any shot?
Well, yeah, there's always a shot. But, KU has this thing down. And it's not so much like, I don't know, everyone always gives Bill Self a lot of credit, obviously deserving. Everyone, you know, kind of says the Big 12 pees down their leg, sort of somewhat. But here's the deal, man. You start the season 9-0. The Jayhawks pretty much always start the season 9-0 because that's Allen Fieldhouse, man. I mean, it's so tough to win there. And again, this year, 9-0. You start the year 9-0. It is tough, very, very tough to lose the Big 12 if you start the year 9-0. All you got to do is go, you know, what, 3-6 on the road? You got a pretty good chance. Like this year, you would have 4-5 on the road. You went outright. I mean, that's a nice luxury to have. The Jayhawks have kind of figured out the formula there. Just win all your home games, which you're pretty good at, and then just do what you can on the road.
You know, and that's probably easier said than done, because, you know, we have lost some games at home the past couple of years. I mean, we've just off the top of my head, we've lost the Oklahoma State game. Okay, that's really it. Texas a couple years ago.
But
it happens. It happens. But you're right. I think Allen Fieldhouse is has a big role to play in winning all these titles. But I want to take a focus off of the streak, and not to downplay the streak and not to demean it and not to say anything that it isn't, because it's an incredible accomplishment. But I think that year after year, that becomes the focus of, you know, the accomplishment. That becomes the accomplishment, right? Not the actual season that we just won, not the actual season title. So I think by focusing on the streak, this 11 straight, we're not focusing on, you know, the individual accomplishment of Kelly Oubre and Frank Mason and Perry Ellis this season. I mean, by grouping it in, we're talking, oh, remember Wayne Simeon when he won that, and actually, did he ever win one? With yeah. Is he part of the streak, the first one?
First one.
Oh, so the first one. And Mario Chalmers, and while it's great that they were a part of those ones, they've got nothing to do with this number 11 or with this season. And so that's why I don't like it when the ring has, like, number 10. Because it kind of groups them in with the rest of them and takes away the specialness of this one. Because this one has some specialness to it. I mean, this was probably the hardest season to actually get this title. And not to say that it's not hard every season, but with all those teams and how good they were, to have this team, as young as they were, as inexperienced as they were, you know, as, you know, devoid of talent comparatively, this team needs to get some individual attention and some accolades that this is an incredible accomplishment for them. Am I completely off base here? Am I just ranting and this not making sense?
No, you are totally right here. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think you're right. It's interesting. You hear like Wayne Seldon come out a couple weeks ago in the media and say, we don't want to be the team that doesn't continue the streak, you know? And it's just like, man, I hear you. Like, you don't want to be that team. That would suck. But also, I think you're totally right. I mean, it is kind of, especially the ring thing. I never even thought about that until you said it, like 10 straight, 11 straight, you know, on the ring thing, man, that kind of sucks. You know, you weren't I don't know. I'm with you. Like, if you look back and you're, you know, Frank Mason or whatever, and you got that ring and it says 11th or whatever, like, you were part of two of those. Who cares? Like, I'm with you. I think there is some,
well, I mean, and not to
something
say,
lost there.
And I don't mean to say that, like, Frank Mason, you know, shouldn't be able to put himself in with the rest of them. That's not what I'm saying.
Sure. No,
what
I agree.
I'm saying is
I know
that
saying.
By grouping them together, they all kind of get lost.
I'm with you.
And I think that we should take some time to just recognize the individual specialness of this season, because it was
Andrew,
not easy.
I know how to do that.
How do we do that?
It's with this song right here. Andrew, the 2014-15 Jayhawks are the Big 12 regular season champions. They cut down the nets there at the West Virginia game. We saw a senior up there on the ladder, Christian Garrett, with the net around his neck, giving his senior speech. How great is that? Sorry, I really just wanted to play this song again.
Okay. That's all we need. Maybe that's enough recognition. Maybe we've done our due, okay. And we can move on. One other thing is that at this time of year, you've got two types of media members, and sometimes that they end up being the same person. But there's the people who criticize the Jayhawks all year, and then suddenly are, oh, what a miraculous streak that Bill Self has going on here. Right. This is miraculous. This is an unprecedented, and it is. But it's almost like a group think of you have to tweet that out. And then you've got your Doug Gottliebs who try to take the Jayhawks down any peg he can get. So I just don't let those guys influence you one way or the other. And just let us influence you. I don't really mean it that way. But just recognize that this individual season was incredibly special for these guys. And recognize that conference championships are not easy to win. Even if it's been done 11 times in a row now.
I agree. It is kind of funny listening to those guys and reading those tweets. Like, I try to stay away from them. I do, because I know they're just trolling. Like, my favorite part was Gottlieb coming out and saying something like, well, the Jayhawks have only won 3 in a row, if it really comes down to it, or something like that. And he goes, but anyone that talks to me and says otherwise is trolling. Like, no, you're trolling. You're the one that's doing the trolling. But anyway, all I have to say to him is the Jayhawks win again. They're 11 straight. Andrew, if you don't know, I'm playing this song again. I just want to play this song.
I actually don't know what song you're playing.
I know. So a little look behind the glass, everyone. Andrew doesn't hear the music during the podcast. So he just acts like it, or completely acts like he isn't. But Andrew, there is a metal ceremony playing in the background.
Okay, so
that's why I'm getting so excited. for the Jayhawks, and there you go.
Okay, I know that
one. Yeah, you know that one.
Yeah. So let's just take a moment. Congratulations to the Jayhawks on this accomplishment. But there's more to do. There's two tournaments left that we need to focus on, and we will do that a little bit later on in the podcast. But let's take a brief moment and talk about the two games from this past week, just to put a bow on this regular season.
You can't hope or wish good things to happen. You go make them happen because we are in attack mode for the entire 40 minutes. We do that, and we're going to have a fun locker room in about 2.5 hours.
How about that West Virginia game, Andrew? Senior night, as we mentioned. The Jayhawks come out a little bit flat. You and I were on this podcast about a week ago saying that the Jayhawks were going to crush West Virginia.
We were wrong.
We were wrong.
We struggled.
We were wrong.
We struggled. So we ended up with an overtime victory, 76-69. And in typical KU fashion, we're down 18 points at one point.
Yikes.
But just slowly chipped away. Got some stops in the second half. Frank Mason got some layups. Frank Mason got some free throws. And then everybody got hurt. And we still chipped away. Jamari decided he was going to be a basketball player for that game. Chipped away. Missed some three-pointers. Chipped away. And finally got into overtime. You know, we were down 8 points, I think, with a minute 58 to go. And just seems miraculous that we got caught back up. So we ended up winning in overtime. And I think it's one of those feelings that, you know, you're in overtime at KU, at Allen Fieldhouse. Like, you're not gonna lose that game. And that being said, we had Kelly Oubre had fouled out. Perry Ellis was on the bench. Wayne Selden was definitely hobbled. So it was a shorthanded squad in overtime, but there was no way we were losing after that.
Yeah, that was pretty wild, especially the first half. Like, we just, man, I think that everyone just kind of looked at it and was just shaking their head like, what is going on? But then, you know, especially the three-pointers, we wanted to, I don't know about you, but you and I keep saying like a little bit, let's keep shooting those threes, let's keep shooting them. And apparently you were at the game and they gave away like the three-point, like, you know, at the front door, they hand you something to.
No, they were on the seats. They were on the seats.
Okay. And what were they again?
They were, you know, the 3-point hand signal, like the Tyshawn used to do to put over his eye, like the three fingers in the air with the circle. They had those signs with the Jayhawk in the middle, and then it had, you know, that hand signal. So you're supposed to hold that up whenever we hit a 3-pointer. Well, we went 0 for 15 from 3. 0 for 15. So we didn't get to use those signs with that hand signal on it once the entire game.
You just kept thinking that one of them was going to fall, especially late. Like, when we were making that run, we're like, okay, one of these is going in, and it's going to spark everything. And they just kept not going in. But, you know, whatever. We came back. We got the win on senior night. It was an incredible comeback win. One that, you know, we obviously needed pretty badly, especially going into Oklahoma the next game and not feeling too comfortable about that game. So it was a heck of a game, heck of a comeback. Bill Self in the post game called it one of the best games he's ever, or actually he kind of said literally the best game he's ever done there at Allen Fieldhouse, and everyone in the stadium and everyone online was like, Missouri.
Yeah, it was when he was announcing or doing his final little microphone talk before, at the end of the game. And when he said that, there was a big murmur in the crowd. No, Missouri. Did he forget Missouri?
He forgot it.
Yeah. But wait, let's just forget about Missouri for a second. Like, we recognize that's probably the best one. But other than that one, it's got to be up there. It's one of the better games or better comebacks that Allen Fieldhouse has seen. And
yeah.
I definitely agree with him there as far as that. Just to talk a little bit about the other notes from the game, Perry Ellis went down in the first half with a sprained knee. Was a little iffy there in the stadium because he left and went to the locker room right before halftime and then didn't come back out after halftime.
Yeah.
Just didn't come back out, didn't come back out. And everybody kept looking for him, didn't come back out. Finally came back out, you know, wearing sweats with about, actually, it was an overtime.
I think it was an overtime.
And,
or close to it.
And it was, he wasn't in any cast, wasn't in any brace, wasn't on crutches. So I think everybody breathed a sigh of relief, but it was still a little scary there. So obviously he didn't play at Oklahoma. Hopefully he'll play in the Big 12 tournament and get all fixed up. But just to talk about a couple individual performances from that game, Frank Mason kind of took over the game at the end, had 19 points, 7 rebounds, and was really the alpha dog that Bill Self says he is and needs to be for this team. And, you know, without Perry there, without Cliff there, we needed a big guy to step up. And Jamari probably was that guy. You know, he certainly was. He had 14 points and 9 rebounds. He didn't score in the traditional ways that big men score for KU. He kind of had that, you know, drive into the lane type of game, which is perfectly fine for Jamari. Like, he does that really well. And it obviously succeeded for him because he had 14 points. But definitely needed a presence from him. And overall, it was an incredibly fun game and certainly a game that was a good one to cut down the nets for. Senior night, it was people got home pretty late because we had the cut down the nets. They brought out all 11 trophies, put them on the floor, and it was a pretty raucous crowd there at the end.
Yeah, I'd agree with you about Frank Mason, Jamari Traylor, both kind of co-players of the game for me. Nice to see Frank come out and play really well, have a really good game after not playing as well for a couple weeks, really. Kind of had his head somewhere else, really played well in that game, was obviously a huge part of that comeback. And then Jamari, you know, stepping up, he was a stud in that second half. And actually, kind of a side note here, all the big guys, Mickelson had some really good minutes. They filled up the stat board. He had 2 blocks and a couple boards and 8 points in just 13 minutes. And had 3 steals in that game. Credited with 3 steals, Hunter Mickelson, in just the 13 minutes of play. And then Landon played some good minutes as well. You know, he played 26 minutes, didn't score except for maybe 1 or 2 points. But, you know, he played well too. So good to see the big guys step up a little bit. Sure wish we had Cliff at that point, but it was nice to see the other guys step up and play well.
I think you're right. Let's move on and talk a little bit about OU this past Saturday. Weird game.
Yeah.
Weird? Like, just weird generally. Weird in the sense that there wasn't really much pressure because we had already clinched the Big 12 outright. We were incredibly shorthanded. We didn't have Cliff. We didn't have Perry. Wayne was limited. He ended up playing some minutes, especially at the end. I don't think Frank should have played, but he did play. And then Brandon Green was suspended for a game. So weird game, weird minutes, weird minute distribution. Did you expect a win in this one? Obviously, we didn't get the win, but did you expect a win?
I did not.
Yeah,
I did not expect to win this game. That was a weird feeling, too. Like, not, I guess it's not that I didn't expect to win or not expect to win, because I've felt like that before. Like, we've played games where I said, man, I just don't feel like we're going to win this game. But this one, I didn't feel like we were going to win the game, and it didn't really bother me, which is a whole weird feeling, a completely new feeling for me with KU basketball. Because, you know, you might feel like a little iffy about a game, but, you know, you're still going to be pissed off after they lose. I don't know. I wasn't that pissed off. I felt like it was a great effort by a team that obviously was missing a lot of pieces that hopefully we'll be back. And I don't know, we played them that close at OU. And obviously Brandon Green and Perry Ellis are worth 3 points on offense. So I feel like if we have everybody there, we win. And I'm not sure it's close. We played really well.
Yeah, I don't think you could fault this team for what happened. You know, we fought, we came back. You know, not as much as before, but we definitely had to come back. And got up to a tie. And should have been in overtime, but we gave up a last-second bucket again because of a failure to rebound and give up the offensive rebound. You know, it was a tip-in that won the game. I mean, I was mad about it, but I kind of got over it pretty quickly. Was ready to move on into the postseason. And it just depends on whether that affects our seeding line in the tournament. I'm not sure it does, but you never know.
Was there anything you took away from this game? I mean, was this kind of a throwaway? Is there anything you took away at all?
I mean, there's probably something you can take away from every game. This one's tougher, though.
Yeah. To me, the only thing is the end of game situation, again, not going well for KU. That's two times we've seen that happen with just a handful of seconds on the clock, driving the court really with no problem and getting a good shot. This time it was a follow, but still, I mean, there was no ball pressure. I think you got to be able to slow them down a little bit, whether it's pressure on the ball in the inbounds pass or whatever it is. I know Self is working on that play this week because that's now twice that's happened. It kind of, it's a bad look.
I think so, too. To move on to the individual performances of this OU game, Frank Mason, 21 points, no assists, which was a little weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, he definitely pulled and pushed this team and put the team on his back. Willed this team back to a tie. So a lot of credit can be given to Frank Mason. Also, Kelly Oubre, 12 points, 10 rebounds. Pretty good. Pretty respectable for Mr. Oubre.
And Landon Lucas. 13 points, career high.
Yeah, great. I mean, he played some solid big guy minutes. You know you can rely on him. I still don't think that he's the answer. He's the solution for us going deep in the Big 12 tournament, going deep in the regular tournament, but it's good to have him there.
Yeah, right? I agree.
It's good to have him as an option, and if he wasn't there, we would be in a world of hurt, so Mr. Lucas is definitely poised for a march, a march for good or for bad if Cliff Alexander does not make a return. But let's move on and talk about the performance of the week.
Here's the three. I'm telling you, he's in a zone right now.
I think you can put a blindfold on him.
I think there's one person that really jumps out on the performance of the week, and that's the aforementioned Frank Mason. Two big games, West Virginia and Oklahoma. Averaged 20 points for the week, Andrew. So good to see him getting back in the scoring column, especially with Perry out. We got to have someone who's going to step up, and that was Frank Mason this week. Anybody else jump out, or is that kind of the guy that you were thinking too?
That's the guy I was thinking. I don't think you could make a case really for anybody else. Maybe Landon Lucas or Jamari Traylor in the sense that they stepped up, but certainly the alpha dog of the week, the player of the week was absolutely Frank Mason. Let's move on and talk a little bit about something a little more dour. Let's do the what the F of the week.
All right. Well, obviously one of the issues we're facing this late in the year, we're struggling to get players on the court, Andrew. And everyone knows about Cliff. We're going to talk about that in a second, but the Brandon Green issue, I guess, in the Oklahoma game was a surprise to everybody. Missed the Oklahoma game because of, quote, irresponsible behavior. Andrew, you know, on this Jayhawk Talk podcast, we don't want to speculate about things, but let's wildly speculate about what Brandon Green's irresponsible behavior was. Do you have any idea what that could be?
I'm going to speculate. You know, this is speculation.
Pure and utter speculation.
That he deleted Perry Ellis's Call of Duty game.
Oh, man.
His character, like his all his level like ups. Yeah.
Oh, man. That would, well, that'd
that's
do it.
That's irresponsible.
That is irresponsible. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what he did. I imagine it was some sort of, I don't know. Drug test? I mean, probably not. I don't know. What this time of year, what could it be? Missing class, tutoring, missing practice, late to practice. What is it? You know, I don't know. He's always in Self's doghouse, it feels like. So something else must have happened. Whatever, hopefully he gets back and back quick because we could use a little more offensive firepower, even though Brandon has been pretty terrible the last, four or five games. We kind of need him to get going. So maybe this is what he needed, Andrew. He needed a little break. You know, watch a few games or watch a game from the bench for a game, and maybe he'll come back strong as ever. Let's talk about this Cliff deal, though. Here's the thing. Like, I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning. I was kind of thinking about the podcast a little bit, like thinking about preparing some things. And I was so excited about talking about like postseason basketball and like we're finally here and it's March and like weather's nice and like daylight savings. I'm like so excited about like this time of year. And then I think about this Cliff thing. I was like, man, I don't even want to talk about it. Like it just kind of brings me down. But we should probably talk about it because it's a thing and it's affecting our team and our program and you know. There you go. So what's the latest on Cliff, Andrew?
Well, let's just catch everybody up. There's been some good news. There's been some bad news. And all this news is probably just speculation and interpretation rather than just facts. But let's talk about what has been said this past week. On Wednesday, a reporter from the Chicago Times, specifically his name is Michael O'Brien, and he is the prep sports editor for the Chicago Sun-Times, sent out a tweet saying that this is what he said. Hearing it is possible, Cliff Alexander may be cleared to play for Kansas this weekend. Also, expect him to stay at KU for another year. So this guy probably has connections. Obviously, he does in Chicago. So he's hearing this from some sort of Chicago source, most likely someone close to his family, if not his family, directly. I don't know what that means. Obviously, he was wrong in the sense that Cliff did not get cleared to play for this past weekend, but was certainly interesting on two levels. One, that this thing, he may get cleared, and two, that he was going to stay another year. Two new pieces of information that we didn't know. Thursday, a report from Pat Forty at Yahoo said that the issue was that his family, Cliff Alexander's family, received impermissible benefits, and that was the source of this ineligibility issue. And that was everyone had speculated that that could have been what it was, but we didn't really have any confirmed reports or anything published that said that. Saturday, I think it was during the game, there was another Yahoo Sports report, I think between Pat Forty and Adrian Wojnarowski, that was a little more specific about what happened. In that report, they said that Cliff's mother took a loan out from a sports finance company last August. That company is called Ludus Capital, and they give loans to potential high draft picks in the NBA. And those loans are based off of the earning potential of the player. So they know that the player is going to get a $2 million contract or whatever it is. And so they're expecting to get paid back, you know, out of that contract. That those loans happen after they declare for the draft, though, and usually aren't giving to family members. So this is a little shaky in terms of what's been reported. Doesn't make me feel any better, Kevin.
No, I agree. It doesn't sound good at all. There's a couple things I want to parse out from what you said, and I think that's a good rundown. The first thing is the Michael O'Brien update from the Chicago Sun-Times, where he said, hearing it's possible he'd be back, whatever, we're going to ignore that, but that he might return, or that he plans to return for a second year. And I heard that, and something that was kind of surprising to me, because most reports I'd heard around KU was that they were not expecting Cliff to be back. And so that was something a little new to me, and then I started thinking a little bit, okay, so the family hires this attorney, and the attorney is helping them navigate through the NCAA investigation or whatever. So I started thinking, okay, so if the guy's going pro, if he's already decided he's going pro, then why hire the attorney? Why do the whole song and dance with the NCAA? Why don't you just say, screw it, I'm going to go pro anyway, it doesn't matter. And so it made me wonder a little bit if there was an issue or a possibility that he might be returning because he's trying to use the attorney and everything, trying to get a game plan together to try to get his eligibility for next year or potentially still this year. And so that was a kind of a surprising little nugget, I guess, to me trying to, and of course we're trying to read between the lines here a little bit because there's not a lot of information out there, but that was something that was kind of interesting. And then, you know, the other thing is that this loan was in August of 2014. I mean, that was before the season, Andrew. That's a little scary, I guess, to me a little bit as well. If you're thinking about, you know, whether KU knew or whether Cliff knew or whether what was going on, if they can prove any of that kind of stuff, then that's a problem for KU and also obviously a problem for Cliff's eligibility going forward. But kind of an interesting story here.
I'm done talking about it.
Yeah, I am too. I'm just sick of it.
Yeah, we've got other things to talk about. If Cliff is here for the Big 12 tournament and the NCAA tournament, great. If he's not, we're going to move on without him. But let's do a little focus. Let's move on to the water cooler conversation and talk about some awards.
Water cooler conversations.
Water cooler conversations.
Andrew, the Big 12 awards were announced today. This is Sunday. The player of the year in the Big 12 is Christian Garrett. I mean, Buddy Hield. That's what I meant.
Same difference.
Yeah, Buddy Hield, player of the year. There was a little argument out there for Perry Ellis. I think his injury made that a little tougher, and Buddy Hield obviously having a great closing game. I thought he was going to get it no matter what, but, you know, there was an argument out there. So good for Buddy Hield. The first team, though, includes Buddy Hield, Rico Gathers, Juwan Staten, George Nang, and Perry Ellis. So Perry did make the first team All Big 12, which is very deserving. There were some other Jayhawks on the list. Frank Mason was a second teamer, which I think is very deserving. Kelly Oubre, Wayne Selden, honorable mention. So
Oubre was also on the all newcomer team for whatever that's worth. Those are the Big 12's awards. We recognize the Big 12 is an institution that can give out awards and give out the official awards, but they don't mean as much as the Jayhawk Talk podcast awards.
Couldn't agree more.
Which we're going to just go over here. We've kind of done a little bit of brainstorming because we just make up these awards on the fly.
Yeah, really much as
so
we go right here.
I changed up how I want to do this, Kevin. I'm going to just ask you. Well, I'm going to have you give them out.
Okay.
And if you're wrong, I'm going to change the award. I'm going to have veto power over it. Okay. So I'm going to ask you, you're going to answer, that's the award, unless I say, no, you're wrong, it goes to this person.
For the record, none of this is written down. We're just doing this on the fly. Okay, go ahead.
We had talked about doing it differently, but this is how we're doing it now.
All right, okay. Good to know.
First award, favorite game. What was your favorite game of the season? Now, this could just be Big 12, or it could be any game, but I'm going to open up to whatever. If you're wrong, I'll veto it, but tell me your favorite game of the season.
Oh, man, that West Virginia game is hard to beat. Great comeback. The Florida game was fun. That was a good comeback as well, kind of a crazy game. Oh man, it was also fun to see the Iowa State game after losing up there and having that a nice win at home. But I don't know. I think I'm going to go with the West Virginia game. With all things considered, senior night, win the Big 12, cut the nets down, all that. I'm going to go with West Virginia.
That is correct.
All right. That's one for one.
That was a fun one. Okay, next award, best performance of the year by a Jayhawk.
Ooh, that's tough. There's been some really good ones. I'm trying to think off the top of my head here. Man, Frank's been so consistent that it's hard to kind of pick one game out. And that's the thing that's kind of tough. You know, you can sort of pick out like Landon's good game or Jamari's good games. But Frank was so consistent, it's tough there. But I think I'm going to go with Perry Ellis. He had two really good games, and the one that's jumping out to me the most is that Texas game where he went 28 points, 13 boards, and really.
For the record,
like,
we did have that written down.
Yeah, we did have that written down, but that was the game where it seemed like in the little stretch there where he just went nuts, and he just, it's like he, something clicked and he started figuring out that he was better than the people on the court. And that, like, I don't know what it was, but it was like, whatever you're doing, Perry, keep doing that. Cause that's what we want to see.
That was Perry Ellis at the height of his powers.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'd go with one of those Perry games in that stretch.
Okay. You could also make a case for the Perry Ellis versus TCU game where he was a 9-for-10 from the field, but we're going to go with the Texas game at Allen Fieldhouse. That is correct, Kevin. Moving on to the next award, favorite player.
Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk.
That is incorrect. The answer is Landon Lucas.
What?
Moving on.
Wait a minute. Okay. Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk is my favorite player. Just because I want to see him more and I love him. But are you serious about this Landon thing? I want to hear more there. Are you just...
Oh, he's your favorite player.
No, he's not my favorite player.
You talk about him all the time. You love Landon Lucas.
No, I did not say that. That is absolutely incorrect. Man, I don't know. Frank has been a lot of fun to watch this year. I think he's been... I don't know if he's been my favorite player, but God, he's been awesome. And so, I don't know. The one that I like to see play the most is Sviatoslav because I'm very intrigued by him. But man, it's tough not to dislike Frank Mason out there.
All right, this next one is called Glad You're Gone Award. This goes to outgoing seniors.
Christian Garrett? You're so mean.
No. On other teams.
Oh, okay. I get it. Okay.
Any idea?
Oh, so you want me to answer now?
Yeah. So outgoing seniors on other teams, and I can give you a list, like, or if you don't remember who the seniors are, but it's like after we get done with the team, like, oh, that guy's a senior. Oh, I'm glad he's gone.
Right. Okay. I don't know. It just seems like we do this a lot with white guys, unfortunately, like little white guys that make threes against us. Like we should probably name it after like Keaton Page or somebody.
Brady Heslip, because
he was there forever.
Actually, he was only there for 3 years, but
felt like longer.
Yeah, they petitioned to him to get him in this year. Like they petitioned the NCAA,
really,
to have him in, but he they denied it.
That's too bad. I think LeBrian Nash is the winner here.
That is correct.
Okay, we recruited him. He was supposed to be a one and done, and 4 years later, he's there on senior night. Actually, had a really good year. So I mean, good for him, and hopefully, you know, he goes off and does good things in the league or whatever. But glad to see he is gone, LeBrian Nash.
All right, this next award is called the Guy I Don't Want to Get Into a Fight With Award. That's it. Who do you not want to get into a fight with in the Big 12? Can be KU player or not.
I think Rico Gathers is up there.
That is close.
I think, let's see who else is on there. I don't know. There's several people I don't want to get in a fight. I don't want to get with a fight with many of them at all. But
candidates, I'd put Ryan Spangler on the
list. He's a little. He looked like he'd be pretty scrappy.
I put Thomas Gibson on that list definitely. Okay. Jamari Traylor goes on the list, but I think the winner is Sviatoslav Mikhailiuk.
Okay, you have to explain this.
Okay, so he's 17 years old, which is not what's going for him. Like, that's not a positive. But I think he just wouldn't understand the rules of, like, American fighting, like, the common decency of American fighting, and then he would do something, like, completely crazy just because he doesn't know any better. So I think it's that unknown that makes you, like, I don't want to get into a fight with that guy.
All right. I could sort of respect that.
All right. We've got a couple other awards that I'm just going to come up with off the top of my head on the fly. Let's confirm our preseason award for Douchey Coach of the Year. Who do we give it to?
I don't remember who we gave it to. I know it probably came down to Scott Drew, because I think the award's named after him. And who else was
Travis
on the list? Travis Ford. There you go. This is tough because there are a lot of candidates. I actually think Bob Huggins is on the list this year.
Oh, he made a case at the end. He made a strong
because
push.
He was being super douchey at the end of the year, whining about foul calls at the for the KU game when it was, I don't know if he remembered that game back in, you know, Morgantown when we shot like 11 free throws, and they shot considerably more. I don't know. I think, just for me, a little different, I'm going to go with Bob Huggins this year.
You convinced me. I was going to say it was going to be somebody else, but I think you convinced me. Now, consequently, Bob Huggins also won Big 12 Coach of the Year. So,
which I don't agree with at all.
Bob Huggins swept all of the major important awards this Big 12 season, winning not only the Big 12 award, but the Jayhawk Talk podcast.
Who's your legit Coach of the Year in the Big 12? Because I would not have picked Bob Huggins.
I think Scott Drew should be on that list.
I agree. Kruger's up there and Scott Drew's up there. And I think I give it to Scott Drew. And I'm not a Scott Drew fan, but that was they were good.
Here's a question for you. Are there Scott Drew fans?
Yeah, there's a couple. Like
Bryce Drew, his brother.
People
Homer
in Waco.
Drew, his dad.
There's a lot of media that seem to kind of like him. Yeah, because like they hear like all the stuff that people say about him, and then they go down there and do interviews and like, you know, he's not that bad. Like, he's actually a good guy, and they, you know, blah blah blah. And I think that Scott Drew is really good at kind of glad handing and kind of being a face and really good at kind of, I don't know, being in a one-on-one situation. And so I think he's a good interview for people, and he kind of opens up I think he's really open with the media, and I think that they like him for that. So anyway, yeah, I think there's some fans out there. I'm not a fan at all, but
all right, I've got two awards to close this thing out. First one, Jayhawk MVP.
Of the KU team?
Yeah, Jayhawk MVP.
I think you give it to Frank. Ooh. Frank's been the most consistent player of the year. Most improved. He was the leader on the court, at least. I think I give it to Frank.
Okay. I'm going to make it a co-MVP and give it to Perry Ellis, because I think that his performance down the stretch, especially, and over the course of the whole season, definitely is something that we need to recognize.
I'm not going to fight you on that
one. As important as these awards are, obviously. And then the second one is, well, I'll just describe it as guy you would most want on your team from a different team. Like, who do we need? Who would we like to just steal from somebody else in the Big 12 throw them right into our lineup? And you can consider, like, positions of need or not, but who do you think the best player is that you wish played for KU right now?
We've talked about this before, about how we wish Rico Gathers was on our team, because the dude is just gobbles up every rebound. He's a stud in the post. So he's on the list. I've always, always liked Ryan Spangler. I don't know something about his game. He's just kind of one of those garbage men on the basketball court that I kind of like. Man, but you look at someone like Buddy Hield, he's really good. And I don't know. I think Gathers would probably be a huge addition to this team, so maybe I'll go with him.
All right, I'll give you Gathers. I think that's fair. Well, Kevin, that wraps up the most important awards ceremony in the Big 12. As entertaining as it was, it kind of gives us a glimpse of kind of how this season went, which was a pretty good one, I'd say, with our 11th straight title. But the season is not over. Let's take a look around the Big 12 and talk about the Big 12 tournament.
I'm playing a little defense. You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS.
Dollar signs.
Andrew, we're the one seed in the Big 12 tournament, so that's nice. We don't have to play until Thursday. But Wednesday, there are a couple intriguing games, and I want to get your thoughts on this bracket as it shook out on Saturday. The first round, Wednesday, of course. This is K-State versus TCU at 6 o'clock. Do you just want to kind of walk through the bracket here? Should we talk about the bracket just to give people a little, you know, kind of taste on where. I tell you what, I got a plan here.
Hold on. I'm gonna cut you off, Kevin. Do you have the bracket in front of you?
I do.
Okay, good. Because last year we learned that you're not good with brackets.
I am terrible with brackets.
In the abstract, you don't get it. Look, so do you? Are you looking at it?
Okay. See this? It's you in do color have it. And everything. Okay. Yeah.
Do you understand how that works?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel really good about it.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure, because if we started talking and you didn't know what you're talking about, this was going to be incredibly awkward.
When I can see it, like, pictured, I feel much better about it. It's when okay. you're just so talking yes, about it.
Let's yeah. walk through the bracket and talk okay. about Wednesday's games. That, of course, is the 7 versus the 10 and the 8 versus 9. And us as the 1 seed will play the 8 versus 9, which is K-State and TCU, which is kind of what we hoped for, right? We wanted yes. a rematch against yes. K-State. So K-State lost to TCU twice.
I was going to say, except we might not see K-State.
Yeah, so that may... I think K-State's going to win that game. But I'd like to see K-State on Thursday. I think that'd be a hell of a game.
Yeah, I agree. I'm cheering for K-State only because I want to see KU play them on Thursday. And then the 7-10 matchup is Texas versus Texas Tech. We were kind of hoping to avoid seeing Texas on that Thursday game because they are a pretty darn good 7 or 8 seed, however it was going to shake out. So nice to see them on the other side of the bracket. So we will play either K-State or TCU on Thursday. So Andrew, the 4-5 matchup on Thursday matches Baylor and West Virginia. This is the first game at 11:30 a.m. It's going to be on ESPN2. So Baylor, West Virginia, if KU were to win, would play the winner of that game. Who you got in Baylor versus West Virginia?
Oh, that's so tough.
Didn't Baylor beat them twice? I think maybe. Baylor crushed them in West Virginia, if I'm remembering the game right.
I think you're right. Let's just take a second and look this up, because it's hard to beat a team 3 times in a year. And not to say that it has any influence over what's going to go on now, but these conference tournament games are so, especially when you play a true round robin, you know, you're going to get to know these teams incredibly well. So we have Baylor versus West Virginia. Baylor won both times.
Yeah, that's what I thought. They beat them by like
and convincingly both yeah, times. So they won by 18 and 16. And 12, excuse me. But double-digit wins both places. I wouldn't be surprised if West Virginia wins, though.
I think Baylor's got West Virginia figured out. I think their guards can handle it. So I'm going to take Baylor here. Who you got?
I mean, that's a tough... I'm going to take West Virginia. I mean, these are probably two of the best rebounding teams in the conference. And probably the best two. I mean, these teams win games because they rebound better than other teams.
I hope you're right, because I still think KU can crush West Virginia. This is the third time I'm saying it, but I still think KU is a much better team than West Virginia, and third time's a charm on that game. So KU will play the winner of that game. Let's move on to the afternoon matchups. KU would play the 1:30 game there, by the way, on Thursday. So if you're going to take a little half day on Thursday, maybe go down to Power and Light, hang out, or go to the game. Thursday, 1:30 game. That is on ESPN2. So in the evening, Andrew, after the break, 6 o'clock, Iowa State, the 2 seed, will play the winner of the Texas-Texas Tech game. Let's go ahead and assume Texas wins that. Who you got in Texas-Iowa State at 6 o'clock on Thursday quarterfinal game?
Iowa State.
Do you?
Yeah, Texas needs that win. Just don't think they can do it. They haven't shown me anything all year.
And I'm taking Texas.
Okay, wow.
How about that? I think their backs are against the wall. I think they're playing a little better. I think they come out and win that game. I'm just throwing something out there in front of all the Iowa State fans that are going to make the trek down. It would make my heart a little warm to see that happen. So I'm taking Texas in the upset. In the evening game, 8 o'clock on ESPNU, we know that Oklahoma plays Oklahoma State. Who you got in that game, the last game on Thursday?
Oklahoma. You know, they're just the better team. I like Oklahoma State. I think they've kind of overachieved this year, even though they're the sixth seed. It's going to be a successful season for them because they're going to make the tournament. But OU's too good. I'm going with the Sooners.
I think you're right. I agree with that. Okay, let's talk about the semifinals then, Andrew. We're assuming that KU gets by Kansas State here. So it would be KU versus either Baylor or West Virginia. I say Baylor, you say West Virginia. Tell me about the KU-West Virginia matchup, assuming your team, West Virginia, wins that.
My team. I do not lay claim to them. But I think you're right. I think KU's got a blowout victory over West Virginia in them.
Yes.
They just need to do it.
Yes.
They just need to do it.
They do. On the flip side, KU, as you mentioned, it's tough to beat a team three times. KU has beat Baylor two times this season. So if KU plays Baylor in that matchup, I think it will be a really tough game. Baylor is playing better, you know, in the last few weeks than they have all season. I actually, I don't know who wins that game. I think that's a pretty close one, but I guess I'll take KU in that one because of the, I think there'll be a pretty good contingent of KU fans there. I think it'll be somewhat of a home matchup, even in Kansas City. So I think you and I are on the same page. Whatever happens, KU makes it to the Saturday game. Now on the bottom of the bracket, we've got on your side, Iowa State versus Oklahoma. Well, what do you think in that one?
I think
those have been great games all season long,
Oklahoma,
by the way.
Oklahoma wins.
Really? Okay. So that's those two teams have matched up twice and had amazing games. I think here's what's funny. I think Iowa State wins that game if it ends up being that way, but I think Oklahoma beats Texas if it ends up being that way. So
this is too confusing. You've got this bracket in front of you and now you're abusing your power. Because
no,
you figured out how teams move along lines. Kevin, just tell me who you think is going to be in the final.
Well, we've got to that point.
Okay, tell me who you think is going to be. Like
you have you have
Oklahoma. This is too confusing. Just you tell me who you think is going to be in the final.
KU
and
Oklahoma.
Okay, that's what I think too.
How about that? So we landed on the same spot.
We got a rematch, a little
differently.
And I think KU wins. Bring home a trophy, another trophy. Show our dominance in the Big 12. And it's kind of like one of those prove it things.
Mm-hmm.
When you're playing horse, we got to prove
playing
it.
Playing horse, yeah.
Yeah. Not that we absolutely have to validate anything we've done, but it's just a good thing to go do and get ready for the NCAA tournament.
Man,
do you think we win?
I think if you're gonna like, here's my how I approach these things. If you're gonna say Kevin, pick a team that's gonna win the Big 12 tournament, I'm gonna say Kansas. But if you're gonna say like Kansas or the field, you know, like I'm gonna take the field. So it's kind of one of those things. Like if it's, I think our path is actually one of the better ones. I think the bracket shook out really well for us.
Well, as the one seed, that's a bonus.
I know, but there's been years where that wasn't the case. Like last year, for instance, Iowa State was a really good team, and we ended up having to play them. That's what before the finals. Like, I think this could have shaken out a crazy amount of different ways because of Texas being potentially an 8 seed. Like that would have been a ridiculously tough game as the first game. Meanwhile, on the other side of the bracket, we avoid Iowa State and Oklahoma, which are two teams that we, I think, are the other two best teams in the league. Legitimately, the seeding kind of worked out the right way this year for me, which is not always the case. So I'm glad it shook out the way it did. So, yes, I think KU wins if I have to choose a team.
I hope so. But anyway, this is going to be the best conference tournament in the country, and I don't think that that's even a debate with how this conference looked and how good these teams are. Just talk a little bit about, do you think that our seed can be influenced in this tournament? Or it looks like in bracketologies, we're solidly listed as a 2 seed. I guess the question is do we have any shot of moving up to a 1? Or if something happens, can we move down to a two or two to a three from a two? And I've done a whole lot of research into this, but just gut feeling on how tournaments have worked in the past and how seeding has worked in the past. Do we have anywhere to go up, anywhere to go down? What do you think?
I think the KU is pretty well locked into a two unless they lose their very first game. And even if they win out and win the championship, I think it's going to be tough to avoid or to get into onto the one line. And I think that it really comes down to what the committee really, you know, puts their stock in. Are they really putting stock in RPI? Are they really putting stock in the strength of schedule? Are they, you know, did they buy in completely into the Big 12 and the conference and the caliber teams in there? And if that's the case, you know, I guess there's a chance they end up on the one line if they win out. But I think it's pretty likely that KU ends up as a two seed. I assume they're going to win their first game. And if they win their first game, I'm going to feel really comfortable about being on the two line. If they lose the first one and things shake out, you know, a little differently, there's a chance they fall to a three. But I feel pretty comfortable that they're going to be on that two line, really, no matter what happens. What about you?
I think
and again,
too.
Prefacing this with, we don't have any idea. I mean, right. we have no idea.
I think that that's a safe assumption. I'm just, and I'll only base that on just looking at the teams below us. I think we're safely ahead of them in terms of resume, no matter how things shake out. So I think that we should do what we can and try to win this tournament just to get some momentum going into the NCAA, but I don't think it's the end of the world if we lose in the semifinal or final. But that being said, I want to bring a trophy home. This is always one of the more fun times of year in Kansas City with all the fan bases converging on the Power and Light District and having a good time at the Sprint Center. But just to talk about the next show, we'll know the Big 12 tournament winner next Sunday. And also, we will have the bracket. So the next episode, we'll do a full bracket analysis. We'll probably have to do it later on in the night on Sunday just so we can kind of digest a little bit, see what our path is like.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It's March.
I know.
This is the real deal. Yes. And so it'll be an exciting week. This is one of the more fun times of year, obviously. But we're getting into the meat of this college basketball season.
Yes, I'm stoked. Andrew, I hope we get to play this song next episode. Hoping that KU has brought home a trophy. Actually, I hope I get to play this twice this year yet. So here's hoping. Hopefully this isn't the last time you're hearing this song.
So are you playing the same Medal Ceremony thing?
Yeah, this is like the sixth time. I really like this
one. That's probably not the goal, is to play that Medal Ceremony song. Yeah, like we want to hear the One Shining Moment song.
That'd be nice too, but you know, I can play both. Maybe like we get like a remix, like a little splice, like put them together. That would be nice. So anyway, thank you. Yeah, I'm not going to work on that, but hey, thanks again for everybody tuning in and listening to us. We truly appreciate you taking a few minutes, listen to a little Jayhawk Talk podcast. This is the best time of year. So thank you for all the new listeners too, who are catching on, wanting to find anything they can talking about KU sports. I know the feeling. I've been there. I try to find everything I can as well. So I completely understand. Thank you for listening to us. If you wouldn't mind, take just 1 minute. Actually, probably takes less than that. Go into iTunes and leave us a rating on iTunes. Leave a little comment next to it. Let us know what you think of the show. Give us a rating, hopefully 5 stars. If it's less than that, we don't care. Just leave us a rating and a comment. And please subscribe to the podcast. When you subscribe to the podcast, it comes directly to your phone or your iPad or your device in the middle of the night. You don't have to go download it. You don't have to click on any tweets. You don't have to do anything. Come straight to your phone and you can listen to us without having to work very hard. So please go do that. It helps us get our podcast out to new listeners. And Andrew, I don't think we have any reviews to read this week. So hopefully next week we've got like 20. That would be pretty sweet. But not that we'd read all 20, but you know, it'd be sweet if we got 20. So thank you again to everybody. It's really, really nice. We appreciate and are continually impressed and wowed by how many of you continue to listen to us talk about all this random nonsense and KU sports. So thank you, Andrew. Before we get out of here, do you have any closing thoughts as we close in on this, this 2014-15 KU basketball season?
I think that we should view this season on its own and recognize how great it is to, you know, fight hard, win this conference title. And the fact that it's part of a streak's good, but it should be viewed on its own. And on its own, it's a pretty cool deal, Kevin.
I'm with you. I agree completely. Thank you again to everyone for listening. Let's get out of here, Andrew. We are 1 week away from Selection Sunday. That is crazy to think about. Have a great time down there at the Power and Light. Hopefully cheering on KU on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And hopefully we can bring home a trophy and play this little number one more time. Why are you shaking your head, dude? Why are you shaking your head?
I can't, because I can't hear it. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, it's a medal ceremony. Like, think of like the Olympics. Like, it's that kind of thing. All right, let's get out of here. Thank you, guys. We'll catch you next time. And rock, Jack.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, this baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us, they know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel, they know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing. And look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get the cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court, so we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together, but win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man, but one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces.
This for my J Hawk fans, for my J Hawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
For my Jayhawks.